Hi, everybody. My name is Patrick Ryan. I'm the operations manager at NEA headquarters in Portland, Oregon. I want to welcome everyone to this month's telecourse. The topic this month is going to be the three planes and three intensity levels. And this month, we're very honored to have a guest speaker. Her name is Helen Terry. She's from Houston, Texas, where she is a NEA Black Belt trainer and a founder of NEA Moves Studio in Houston, and holds a master's degree in exercise physiology and human performance from the University of Houston. She's going to be talking with you this evening. Debbie and Carlos are out on the Spirit of NEA tour. They send their best wishes to everyone, and I'm going to go ahead and let Helen take over, and if you need anything, just let me know, Helen, okay?
Okay, lovely. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. This is so much fun to be on the call. I'm actually going to put a mute on everybody while I introduce the subject. And then after the introduction, I'll unmute and would really invite questions at the end of this call. So bear with me, I'll just push the right button. Okay, so welcome to the call on Principle 7 of the White Belt. We're looking at three planes of movement and levels of teaching. So the three planes are low, middle, and high. As a child learns to walk, she really moves her body through the planes of motion to prepare her body for an upright and active life. And moving through these planes and ranges seems to decrease with age. You might have noticed that as people get older, they no longer sit on the ground and play on the floor. And for many of us, our vertical alignment deteriorates, and the body's range of motion eventually extends no further than getting in and out of a car or actually just on and off a chair. So even somebody that's physically fit, like someone who's a runner, can actually seem to limit the planes and the ranges of motion in which they move. So we've concluded that if the human body was to maintain its potential, the ability to move like a child must be maintained. That's why in NEA, when we're working with the plane, we're encouraging the maintenance of this potential. The physical developmental process of the five stages of self-healing builds strength through motion, and it's involved in the whole body movement. So that's what we do, moving from lying down to creeping and crawling to crouching, and finally to an upright standing and walking position. These motions can strengthen the core and the upper body, as well as the limbs and the joints, the respiratory and nervous system. This process naturally creates agile and strong bodies and emotional and mental resilience. Knowing the power of this process is when we developed plane work in NEA. It's really the answer to reclaiming agility. So we discovered the three planes were a natural way to open and relax our spine, knees, and hips. They increase our mobility, agility, and playfulness. And most of all, it really does bring out the child in us. It's accessed as a part of us that then can be squashed by societal beliefs and about body movement and age. Shimmying and shaking, moving up and down and in and out of the plane helps us to reclaim our vitality. But like an accordion, we can open and fold and shift fluidly while riding up and down on the waves of vertical and horizontal energy. We play in space and have fun with our bodies just like a child. So regardless of fitness levels, NEA encourages everyone to work through these three planes of low, middle, and high. Begin by consciously moving along the vertical line of the spine, bending your knees in a comfortable range of motion, and then lowering, but remaining upright. A body that leans forward is energetically falling. So either remain upright or fold, but play with not actually leaning, as leaning actually can weaken your center. horizontal leaning limits and actually constricts our breathing, it tightens our muscles, and reduces overall strength. You can easily be uprooted and thrown off your base if you're not vertically centered. The body functions most efficiently when it's vertically aligned, and you'll know if you're off your vertical alignment when you're pulled off balance. Your transition can feel choppy, you'll lack continuity, fluidity, or agility in your dance, and your spine actually becomes rigid. So you can feel disconnection between your legs, spine, and upper body. And a good indicator of knowing if you are falling off that line is if you can't breathe or if you feel like you've gone too far. A lot of times when people are asking about the low, middle, and high, the question comes up about the smile line of Nia. So it was something that I wanted to explain. The smile grid line is used in every single movement we do in Nia, regardless of whether we're rising or sinking or moving fast or slow or even big and small. The smile grid line is a technique for moving in a grounded way. It's easy on the skeletal system, and it provides more efficient ways of moving. It's that natural flow of energy in walking. When I came into Nia from a traditional aerobics place, I realized that all the movement we do in aerobics, and even when I was a runner before I came to Nia, is where we, in traditional fitness, drop our weight onto the ground. Whereas in Nia, we actually invite you to shift and transfer your body weight. There's lots of benefits of the smile grid line. Energy and matter work best when they come together and meet along a path of least resistance, a path where power and strength is united. So when you're moving along the smile line, your body kind of looks like a basketball player ready before they shoot the ball. So you want to have your knees softened as the body gets ready to shoot, and the body grounds as a way to prepare for movement. So on the smile line, you're sensing your energy field, spring-loaded joints, keeping the body relaxed and powerful. It's just like a cat ready to pounce. You leap from a place of grounded power. Always moving along the smile line, you'll tend to shift body weight. The heel lead of Nia supports moving on that smile line and creates stability and physical support from the ground up. And this way, the feet are protected and can move easily. So that's talking about the three planes of low, middle, and high, and the smile line. Just a little science about, you know, the design behind that is moving in the three planes actually strengthens your body's intrinsic muscles. It encourages systemic movement and creates a better relationship to the depth, space, and balance of our movement. The practice of doing the three planes is whenever you're in a Nia class and you're sensing that you're straining, that indicates that you've actually gone too far. And you want to use your body's feedback to determine that intensity. Undulating along your spine is very helpful in the three planes rather than contracting and moving rigidly. You want to sense that you're scooping energy rather than dropping it. So the art of the three planes is with things like rising into the clouds and sensing clouds at your waist, really inviting floating through the planes of low, middle, and high. Another great image is becoming a puppet and feeling your joints free and playful as you give into gravity. So that's three planes, low, middle, and high, and then a little more information about the other side of this principle, and that is the intensity levels or teaching levels. They're designed to distill every near movement into three levels of intensity to provide you with ways of personalizing your movement. The levels make it possible for you to choose how far you go. You can adjust the movement to fit the moment. In Nia, we always give three choices from the simplest to the most complex. So, for example, level one might be slightly bend the knee. Level two, deepen the bend. And level three, squat without lifting your ankles off the floor. Use the levels to choose what's best for you in the moment. And monitor your comfort, breath, sensation, and ease. Work in a way that feels right for you, a way that works with that ease is naturally refueling itself. When you force your body, it requires extra effort and can create unnecessary tension. So choose what feels good and replace effort with ease, replacing will with desire. We encourage you to fall in love with the benefits received from every level, one, two, and three. You want your enthusiasm to be rich, regardless of your level. So honor each level. Each level gives to the body a unique way, and the value and gift with each level. So we really encourage not to avoid any levels. One of the things I find in class a lot is a beginner would tend to come in and start off level one, but seem to be in a hurry to transition through the levels. But you never know, if you avoid level one, you really miss out on the subtle sensitivity of the movement. And if you avoid level two, you actually never know the transition between the subtle and the deep. And then if you avoid level three, you'll never actually know the thrill of becoming your potential. So remember, you're not doing near better if you're choosing a higher level. There's no preferences and only options. We recommend you always start with level one, and if that feels comfortable, feel free to move to level two, adding intensity and complexity. And then if that feels comfortable, then move to level three, which is the most challenging and complex. Level three doesn't always mean adding more strength. So in general, level one is the simplest, closest to core, least intense. Level two will be adding intensity and complexity, and level three will be the most challenging. The science of the levels is that your body actually relaxes when your movements fit your body, mind, spirit, and emotions. The individual can be met where they are, and they don't have to achieve anything to enjoy Nia. And our bodies are unique, just as unique as our minds and our emotions. So, you know, why should we all move the same? Basically, we're all different, and by having these three different levels, then we're actually honoring the uniqueness of each of our movers in craft. One example in craft is if you were going to pick up a box and put it on a shelf, then see if you can think about how you could do it like level one. So that'd be the most simplest, maybe a low shelf and lifting it. And then level two, maybe, you know, look at how could I make this move more? Maybe a higher shelf, maybe reach lower. And then level three will be how could this be the most demanding. So then you can verbalize those three choices and notice how level one actually has all the ingredients of level two and level three. So we still have our low, middle, and high in level one. It's just that distance between low, middle, and high increases as we go through level two and level three. And finishing on this, the art of the levels. Imagine that level one holds profound, subtle treasures. Dip into level one as though you're discovering found treasures. And then become a connoisseur of level two as though you were sipping or savoring a great wine. And then add that primal sound and connection to level three as if you are unleashing something wild inside of you. So that's an invitation for the art of the three levels. So I'm now going to mute off. So that means I'm actually going to, open, take your mute off, and anybody who would like to ask questions about the three planes or the three levels, I'd love to help. So let me find my right buttons here. Okay, so now anybody who would like to ask a question, if you want to push star 6, that will unmute you, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Good evening. I'm not really clear about the smile line. What is that?
And who's this? Who's calling?
My name is Michelle, and I live in Sarasota, Florida.
Oh, hi, Michelle. Yeah,
hi.
The smile line is one of those things that I think it's a common question I get, also, you know, with students and then also with folks in the belt. The main thing about the smile line is that instead of dropping your weight, where you're going against gravity and Earth, it's really surrendering into gravity and then from that receiving. So an example would be, like, if we're going to do the heel lead in class,
okay,
and you think about taking that step forward, the tendency can be to just drop our weight down into the foot. And that is what we call the frown line. That's literally like the foot dropping and
yes,
and the joints dropping, sort of pressing weight into the floor.
Yeah.
The opposite, the smile line, is to really embrace that heel lead as you step and sense yourself moving from beneath and behind. And if you imagine like a little point in the ball and socket of your hip, you'd actually
yes,
initiate the movement if we looked the side of your body. And if you can imagine that, if you now just take your finger, maybe your middle finger, into the ball and socket joint of your hip, as you go into that heel lead, there actually will be a slight dropping downwards, but it's not falling, it's not dropping, it literally is sinking into the step, and then as you roll your foot in your heel lead on the other side, there's then that rolling up, just like a smile line.
Yeah, so I'm doing it. I see what you're saying. It's more like it's like you're rocking in a rocking chair and you're just landing and then rocking up.
Exactly. And then you can take that into any move. So also if you think about just shifting weight from side to side, moving now from one foot to the other, if
mm-hmm,
you're going on that smile line, there's actually this sensation of floating and just shifting weight and sensing what we call your balls on your balls, so the balls of your hips and sensing
yes,
the balls of your feet. And it's a sense of lifting up and out, whereas when we just go down, we're
yep,
literally more dumping into the floor. One of the things I love about the smile line is once you sense it, it's a wonderful opportunity to be receiving information from the earth. You know, we've got more than 7,000 nerve endings in one foot, and if we can literally be working with the floor and surrendering into it and then receiving back, there's so many wonderful messages to be received from that that correlates then from our feet, through our legs, through our core, and even up and out of our arms. So,
yeah, I see the difference is that's why it's good to do it at level one, because the focus is more on lifting instead of pressing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good answer.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's a pretty good point too, Michelle, in that there's so many subtleties that are gained with the investment of staying with level one and not feeling rushed in any level at any time in class that, oh, to be better, I should be moving on to level two. And in fact, I really encourage people, there's so much subtle depth to be experienced in level one. Things like the smile line can be sensed and really worked on as a wonderful base in level one. So I encourage that, you know, development in level one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's more like the science of it instead of just the fun of it.
Yeah, and what's called, it's an investment, and it's like, yeah, you get more of the technique, and that means then when you progress through level two and level three, you've actually really enhanced your potential from that.
Yes,
investment.
Good point. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So this is Helen Perry doing the call on principle number 7 of the White Belt. Would anybody else like to ask a question?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Janet in Pleasant Hill, Oregon.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. It's so nice to hear your voice.
So how can I help you?
I noticed that ever since we first set up the NIA different principles, I puzzled often about the planes of movement and the levels of intensity being grouped together. And
mm-hmm.
I see the connection because one of the ways to change the intensity is through going deeper in the levels. And yet sometimes when I'm teaching class, I choose to separate those out so that I don't have so much to pay attention to at once. So I'm interested
right.
in your take on that issue.
Yeah. What's wonderful is the development of the principles through the White Belt is this has been a process of many years, and so trust that, you know, each of the principles, the way they are, that there is a lot of depth and reason behind it. So this principle of three planes and three levels is very integrated. Yes, there's two parts of the principle, but they're actually totally integrated into each other. So level one will have that low, middle, and high.
Mm-hmm.
And then level two will still have low, middle, high, and it's increasing the distance between them. And then level three, again, still has that low, middle, and high. What can happen is if I teach a class where level one is flat and I don't have that potential of low, middle, and high, then my movement literally doesn't have the potential to progress in that.
Yeah, it would be uninteresting.
Excuse me?
It would be sort of uninteresting.
Yes. Uninteresting, literally flat physically, but also, yeah, flat.
Uh-huh.
It's like, imagine that, for me, that somebody, you know, in class, if I'm just going to do level one, it'd be like, oh, you know, where's the joy in this moment if everything I'm doing is flat? And it's also not encouraging the developmental process in NIA. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to allow every ingredient to be there in level one. And then linking with Michelle's question before, it's also connecting with that smile line and sensing the subtleties of the movement in level one so that you have the depth to be able to progress through level two and level three.
I appreciate your elaborating. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Helen. It's Leslie in Seattle. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you well.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Thank you for being on the call and everybody else, too. Well, when I'm teaching, and even sometimes probably when I'm doing NIA, I have a tendency to bend at the waist thinking I'm going deeper into a lower level. And that
mm-hmm.
seems one of the hardest things for me to help students with. I see people bending over at the waist because then their head goes lower, but they're not helping with the smile line and the rocking and the receiving the energy. So any hints on helps on that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that whole breaking at the waist is challenging, and it's also, we can feel like we're doing so much better if we're going higher and lower, but in fact what's happening is we're underutilizing our legs and instead just falling forward and coming back up when we break at the waist. So one thing, first of all, is just to be aware that when we are more on the vertical line, we may go, like particularly when we're starting out, our range of motion is actually going to be less than if we bend at the waist, as in we might not be able to go as low as if we bent at the waist. And so notice that first of all and realize, oh, you know, okay, I'm going down less, but I'm actually using my legs more. And instead of putting my body into a position where I feel like I'm falling, I'm supporting my body systemically. So tapping into the sensation of being supported in the base from sliding up and down that vertical line. That can help. And I think it's also a great example of how visuals in Nia can really enhance it. So I use things like maybe look on the horizon, be aware of where your eyes are. Your eyes will help you on that vertical line as you're sliding up and down. The visual of maybe floating in water or floating on clouds and allowing the body to be more in ease, just floating up and down the line. Remembering the three body weights and inviting them to stay vertically aligned and floating. So if my head is going, you know, below my chest and close to my hips, then obviously that's an indication that I've really bent at the waist rather than sliding through. It was one of the things I was really challenged with personally when I came into Nia, and Debbie Rosas was so helpful of helping me realize that a little bit can go a long way. I think it's really bringing in some ways like the Feldenkrais aspect of Nia, that just dropping my legs and using my legs and opening my hip flexors and opening my back, even a small, like 1 or 2 inches, even though it doesn't seem as big, with time it really allows us to develop much more pliability through the legs. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, very helpful.
You're welcome. This is Helen Terry talking about the three planes and levels of intensity. How can I help? Anyone have a question?
Hi, Helen. It's Christine Steinman in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hi, Christine. How can I help you?
I was wondering if you could repeat, it was the last thing you said before you took questions, your metaphors with levels 1, 2, and 3. I couldn't write fast enough. You said something about savoring wine and unleashing the animal. It was awesome, but I totally missed the first one.
All right, so level 1, I said, imagine that level 1 holds profound, subtle treasures. So dip into level 1 like you're discovering a found treasure. And so for me, that's really saying just savor the moment, invite it to be a discovery opportunity. And, you know, really treasuring the subtle treasures. And then level 2, I said, be a connoisseur. So let level 2 be as if you're sipping and savoring great wine. And then level 3, add primal sounds and act as if you're unleashing something wild.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. What I like about those visuals is, again, it's just the encouraging of savoring the moment through each of these levels. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Well, this is Helen Terry. I think I might have time for one more question. How can I help you? Anybody else have a question?
Helen? Helen? Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, this is Tim calling. Hello?
Hi, I can hear you now.
Helen, this is Tim calling from Port Townsend, Washington, where I'm sitting in a room with two marvelous instructors and like myself who want to know how to really begin and understand Nia. What encouragement can you give us?
So your question was how to begin Nia, and I didn't hear the second part.
What encouragement can you give us as beginning students?
Oh, encouragement? this is very much from personal experience. Invite the curiosity and wonderment of a child to come into your practice. Really invite your own natural time in your development. You know, don't be in any hurry. Savor every moment, every sensation, and really allow you to have an experience. And then just adding a little extra, if somebody asked me what I might like to have done different, like 16 years ago as I started as a Nia student, I might have begun what I would call my near pleasure journal, and that's something I would recommend as a beginner too, is looking at creating some kind of pleasure journal where you can just record all the wonderful pleasures and enjoyments that you receive from class and what you bring to class. And that can also be a motivational tool, so that on those days when you think, oh, maybe I won't go to class, or, you know, maybe this isn't for me, that pleasure journal, I think, can be a wonderful support and the encouragement that you need to get back out there. And most people, when they show up to class, I've never had someone at the end of class saying, I wish I didn't do that. But I have many times when someone will say at the end, like, oh, I'm so glad I came to class, I almost didn't come. So remember that as you're going through class.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay, so it's time to come to an end of this call. Just in summary, we talked about the three planes of movement, your high, your middle, and your low. Remember that this range is a personal choice, which varies from day to day and person to person. We talked about the vertical and horizontal lines of movement, smile energy versus frown energy. And I invite you to remember that the levels of teaching is a personal choice of level 1, 2, and 3. Vary your complexity as well as your intensity. Explore the levels. Choose healing and stimulation. And challenge yourself safely by applying awareness and sensing your body in the process. It's been fun to be on this call. I hope it's helped you, and maybe we'll visit again another month. Take care.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Helen?
Yes?
Hi, this is Sherry Fleck from Orlando, Florida. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
I wanted to find out, has Nia ever done anything with younger children, such as ages of 2, 3, 4-year-olds on up?
Absolutely, yeah. I have, and many people at Nia have. And so one way to get more information would be probably just to go on the Nia forum. Are you a belt?
Yes, I'm a white belt. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So one way would be to ask that question on the forum.
Okay.
And then you might also want to send an email to info@nianow.com or call the 1-800-762-572 number.
Okay.
And then you're welcome to send me an email if you'd like me to give you some information on that too. So that's helent@nianow.com. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking about, like, doing almost like a mom with the little one type. Is that something that's been done? Nia, like a mom and me with the child and the mother.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, that's been done, and it's done in several different places. Include that on your email. We have classes like that at Nia Moves, and Nia headquarters will probably have some more information on that as well.
So, okay, great.
Perfect questions.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great evening. Bye now.
Bye-bye.